It's the morning show. I'm Glenn Moberg in for Kate Archer Kent. Donald Trump was elected president despite his recorded comments on the infamous Access Hollywood tape and despite claims of sexual assault or harassment by more than a dozen women. But more than 1 year into his presidency, the controversies continue. There was Sunday's 60 Minutes interview with a porn star, Stephanie Clifford, also known as Stormy Daniels, who may have violated a non-disclosure agreement by talking about an alleged affair. A former Playboy playmate, Karen McDougal, has appeared on CNN to talk about another alleged affair. And last week, a judge ruled that a defamation lawsuit can go forward involving Summer Servos. She was a contestant on Mr. Trump's TV show, The Apprentice. She claims she was sexually harassed. The legal wrangling involving these cases comes as the president's lawyers deal with the Russian investigation led by Robert Mueller. What does all of this mean for Mr. Trump's administration? And will it even make a dent in the up-to-now solid support of his base? To answer these questions, we turn to our guest, Laura Brown. She is an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. She's the author of Jockeying for the American Presidency, The Political Opportunism of Aspirants, and she also wrote her dissertation on how political scandals affect congressional elections. We'd like to hear from you, and I imagine a lot of you have some comments that you'd like to share with us. What's your reaction to the alleged affairs involving President Donald Trump? Do cases like these influence your support for the president? Is this what we should even be focusing on with all of the other problems facing our country? And what does it say about America that many of us seem to be unconcerned about scandals involving the highest office in the land? 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laura Brown, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Did you see the interview with Anderson Cooper that aired Sunday night on 60 Minutes?
Well, I did, yes. I did watch Stormy Daniels being interviewed by Anderson and saw the 60 Minutes interview.
What did you think of it?
I thought she was very credible. I was actually quite impressed at how forthright she was. I had no impression from her that she was trying to sort of ingratiate herself to people or be coy or in any way sort of act some part. She was very, I thought, straightforward in answering Anderson's questions as truthfully as she could.
Well, now Ms. Daniels has filed a defamation lawsuit against Michael Cohen, the president's attorney, and I believe also the president. Is that something that could be a game changer or not?
Well, I don't think so. I think what you have here is essentially both sides trying to bring every legal charge to bear, to really work to bring this sort of confrontation to some sort of resolution. Because at the moment, what we have right now is an alleged affair, an unsigned non-disclosure agreement, and then counter charges and allegations from both sides' attorneys. So there is a lot of kind of fireworks, but we really need to get to what's underneath it all, and that won't happen until there's some resolution in the original complaint about the non-disclosure agreement.
Now, you mentioned the unsigned non-disclosure agreement. I take it you mean the line that was left for David Dennison, which was a pseudonym for Donald Trump, which was never signed. Michael Cohen claims that's not significant.
Well, and I think this is where we'll have to see what a judge says. Right. This is yes, it is true that Michael Cohen says it's irrelevant, but it also may be something that's material in a court.
Well, we've heard many of the details of the alleged affair before in an earlier interview she gave to In Touch magazine. But one thing that was new on 60 Minutes was the allegation that she and her child were threatened in a parking lot shortly after she talked to the magazine. Let's listen to a short clip from that 60 Minutes interview.
I was in a parking lot going to a fitness class with my infant daughter. I was taking, you know, the seats facing backwards in the back seat, diaper bag, you know, getting all the stuff out, and a guy walked up on me and said to me, "Leave Trump alone, forget the story." And then he leaned around and looked at my daughter and said, "A beautiful little girl, it'd be a shame if something happened to her mom." And then he was gone.
Now, Laura Brown, that alleged incident happened years ago. How significant is it?
Well, I think it's important because it goes to the core of why it is she later signed documents that deny the affair in sort of the recent months. She says that she was intimidated, both physically at one point and then also financially. She was very concerned about what President Trump and his associates would essentially put her through at the legal or financial side. And so she says, look, I did back off this allegation and this truth that the president and I slept together, but I did that because I felt intimidated. And her attorney continues to make the argument that she has been bullied and the president's attorneys have been acting like thugs.
Well, her attorney, Michael Avenatti, has been everywhere on television. Comment on how he's playing his role in this.
Well, certainly he is forcefully putting this issue before the American public and making sure that the president's attorneys, including Michael Cohen, but also Michael Cohen's attorney, have to essentially reckon with this case, that it can't just be quiet. I mean, quite frankly, this sort of discussion and lawsuit and allegations have been going on for a couple months, and it hasn't been, except for the last week or so, that it's really, truly been in the public eye. And it is also the case that nearly two-thirds of the American people, according to a recent CNN poll, do believe the affair allegations. So I'm not so sure that the president continuing to fight this does himself any favors.
Now, this comes just a few days after another woman, former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal, talked on CNN about another alleged affair with the president. Comment, if you could, Laura, on the effect of these two stories appearing so close together on national television.
Well, look, I think the issue is this, is that Karen McDougal does describe that she had a 10-month-long relationship with President Trump. In fact, she even said that at one point she believed she would end up marrying him. She felt very betrayed by him. She is in a very kind of different legal situation in that the non-disclosure agreement she signed was with the American Media company, which owns the National Enquirer. And she had understood that she was selling her story to the National Enquirer, and that would be then published and printed. But in fact, they gave her the money, and then they never published her story. And this is kind of another practice among sort of celebrities and the wealthy to keep stories that may be scandalous from public view.
Well, the Enquirer is run by David Pecker, a friend of Trump's. The magazine has been accused of carrying water for the president. You go into the supermarket checkout aisle and you'll see lurid headlines, usually about Hillary Clinton and Mr. Trump's critics and political opponents. And in an interview with the New Yorker, Pecker said this about the Enquirer's readers. This is a quote. "They voted for Trump, and 96% want him reelected today. They know him from 14 seasons on The Apprentice as the boss, and they loved it when he fired those people and ridiculed them." Is Mr. Trump immune to personal scandal?
Well, to a certain extent, he is. And this is where scandal is a very interesting topic, because what is scandalous has a great deal to do with what one's prior expectations are. In other words, the definition of a scandal is a transgression against moral or legal norms that, when it is revealed, is somewhat shocking. Well, the problem for President Trump's critics is that this kind of behavior isn't very shocking when it comes to President Trump, because he himself spent years going on Howard Stern. He has been in the tabloids. He, you know, was known to have had an extramarital affair with the woman who became his second wife, Marla Maples, when he was married to Ivana. We know from the Access Hollywood tapes that he is somebody who has used his celebrity, according to his own words, to essentially assault women. So it is a very difficult situation in this circumstance, because these revelations don't appear to change your expectations about who you believe President Trump is.
We're talking about the allegations brought against the president by a porn star, a former playmate, and an apprentice contestant, and the possible impact on his administration with Laura Brown. We'll be back with more of your comments after this news. It's the morning show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about the allegations brought against the president by porn star Stormy Daniels, former playmate Karen McDougal, and apprentice contestant Summer Zervos, and the possible impact on his administration with Laura Brown, an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. What's your reaction to the alleged affairs involving the president? Do cases like these influence your support for him? If they don't, why not? And what does it say about America that many of us seem to be unconcerned about scandals involving the highest office in the land? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go right to the phones. Aaron in Clark County has been waiting patiently. Aaron, you're on the morning show.
Hey, good morning. Caveat what your guest Laura Brown said, I think she hit the nail on the head. Is the only shocking thing about this whole scenario with the quote allegations is that people are still shocked. I mean, this kind of, we have him on tape before the election saying the raunchy things towards women, et cetera. He's had three marriages. And furthermore, like, that's like the least of my concerns. I mean, what he did 10 years ago with women, I guess it's no surprise. And what I am concerned about is that, you know, given his past experiences with businesses, we've just passed the largest tax cut, you know, and for so long, and simultaneously signed like this huge budget. And for a guy that, once again, for a guy who has filed bankruptcy like 8 times or whatever it is, to use an analogy that Trump would understand, it's kind of par for the course. You know, it's, I don't know, and to answer the questions, I guess I don't know why this is the way it is or how we've gotten to this point. But if anybody out there is still shocked by any of these things, I don't think they're listening to this radio station. They're not watching more than one news station or reading papers. I guess I just have no explanation other than that. And
all right.
Thanks for the time, and I'll take my comments or your comments off the air.
All right, Aaron, we got it. Laura Brown, Aaron thinks that we should be focusing on Mr. Trump's financial peccadilloes instead of his sexual peccadilloes.
Well, certainly, I think Aaron is right about the fact that if you've been following the news, none of this should come as a surprise. I think what is also true, though, and this was true when I looked at media coverage of scandals in my dissertation, the media do cover sex, like sexual misconduct scandals and all sorts of extramarital affair and harassment scandals much more than they cover corruption scandals or financial improprieties or other sorts of political scandals. And part of that has to do with the ratings and sort of the number of people who pay attention. I mean, we know that 60 Minutes had, you know, incredible ratings on Sunday night, much larger than they had had in other stories. We also know
the largest largest ratings for the past 10 years.
Yeah. So we also know that the interesting part about sexual misconduct scandals is that they are exceedingly easy to understand. So one of the realities of corruption scandals or bribery scandals or influence scandals or even something like this Russian election meddling case, there are a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of different people. It is complicated, and it takes far more than just one or two stories to really even understand what's going on or what Special Counsel Robert Mueller is investigating. But when you're looking at something like an extramarital affair with Stormy Daniels and money that was paid to her to keep it quiet, that's actually very simple. The legal ramifications of that are more complex, but the scandal itself is easy. It's easy to understand. People can pass judgment very quickly on sort of who's in the wrong and who's right.
And when you're dealing with news media that often try to condense stories down to 30 seconds, what's easy is often what makes the air.
That's exactly right.
Let's go to Daryl in Germantown. Daryl, you're on the morning show with Laura Brown.
Yes, good morning. I think that this whole situation that Donald Trump has himself in is just a fine example of his lack of character, his non-existent dignity, and so many other negative things that he portrays. And the thing that's the most pathetic about this is how he pays back the female gender that was a strong supporter of him and his presidents to become president. And he feels that he can do whatever he wants. He's above the law, and he doesn't have to be held accountable for anything he does. And that is such a huge lack of character. And I think we've gotten a president elected that doesn't have any regard for what he's doing. And I think we really need to look at how much we've lowered our standards in this country that we think that that's okay.
Daryl, we've got it. Let's give Laura a chance to respond.
Well, I mean, I think Daryl makes a really good point that, character is an important trait to have in a president. I am somebody who, after studying the presidency, has long believed that the presidency and the White House doesn't change anyone's character. It actually reveals who they are.
Isn't that what Michelle Obama said?
I couldn't tell you. It is the case that the presidency itself sort of magnifies the person who is there and puts such a spotlight on them that all of who they are, and really all of who they were before they were elected, becomes evident when they're in office. And I think that's certainly what we're seeing with President Trump. I mean, as Aaron, described, we did hear the Access Hollywood tape before the election. And so none of this is really a surprise.
Let's go to Jeff in Appleton. Jeff, you're on the morning show with Laura Brown.
Good morning. The only thing I find surprising about this is the rank hypocrisy of everybody that's outraged by this. As soon as Donald Trump is caught with an intern under his desk in the Oval Office, which has already happened, and the lackadaisical attitudes towards this all started with Bill Clinton. This has been covered before, and the Democrats, liberals all said, don't worry, it's none of your business. Now, when it's somebody else to say, oh, he lacks integrity, it's just so hypocritical.
Jeff, thanks so much for the phone call. Laura Brown, is there a double standard here?
Well, actually, there's a double standard on both sides of the aisle. So what is the case is that partisans view scandals through partisan lenses. Typically, hypocrisy is what makes a partisan most frustrated when it comes to scandal. But it's also the case that most voters do not essentially express their disagreement or their condemnation of a scandal on a member of their own party unless they're in a primary election. And a lot of this then ends up being that partisans end up essentially defending and rationalizing away the scandals of those partisans of their own party. Obviously, we saw this in the election with the candidate Roy Moore down in Alabama not that long ago. Republicans not only voted for him, but essentially said none of the allegations against him were true. Yes, we can look back to the Clinton era and see Democrats defend Bill Clinton, you know, against sort of the Paula Jones lawsuit and then the affair with Monica Lewinsky.
Do you think Bill Clinton's affairs and the allegations against him helped Donald Trump win the election by blurring any moral distinction there might have been between him and Hillary Clinton?
I think that what is sort of important when you look at the 2016 election is it was a binary choice, right? You had the choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And it's also the case that these were the two most disliked candidates we have had in modern history. So a lot of people were voting against a candidate, not necessarily for a candidate. And what you have in that sort of situation was that Hillary Clinton was sort of the devil you knew, and Donald Trump, to a certain degree, was the devil you didn't know. And there was a sense of, well, if we're going to do something, let's try something different than what we've done in the past, because we know, according to the American public, that they weren't so sure about Hillary Clinton.
Well, former President Clinton wasn't impeached for his actions, but for the cover-up, for lying about the affair with Monica Lewinsky under oath. Is it true that the cover-up is worse than the crime?
Yes. Usually what happens in politics is that what appears to be a conspiracy in hindsight is not a conspiracy. It was a bad decision or a mistake that then an elected official decides that they want to try to hide or in some way make sure isn't revealed. And so then they start to engage in actions to cover up past mistakes or bad judgments. And those things end up looking like conspiracies, but it's also usually those actions that were the part of the cover-up that become then legally problematic in this case. And I think what you have in this situation with Stormy Daniels is that obviously the payment and the non-disclosure agreement were executed just days before the presidential election. And so that creates a problem legally for the president, because it is apparently an in-kind contribution to his campaign on behalf of Michael Cohen.
We've got a couple of comments on Facebook that I'd like to share with you. Todd on Facebook writes, "I think most politicians are involved in some unethical behavior. The whole rotten system supports that." And then John Paul posts, "I don't care what he does or did in his private life. That's none of my business. However, if he illegally used money to silence her, that is a completely different story. That's the part I care about." Laura Brown?
Well, I mean, I do think, again, right, so much of how we understand this story has to do with the partisan lens through which you're viewing it, whether or not you support President Trump's policies, and then also sort of whether or not you believe the women who are involved in this case. What is fascinating to me, quite frankly, about the moment we appear to be in is that these women are being believed. You know, a majority of the people, according to the CNN poll, believe their allegations. They also say that they should be free to discuss this. This is quite a turnaround, in fact, from the time of Monica Lewinsky. So while many people felt that President Clinton was doing a good job in office, it was also the case that Monica Lewinsky was much more demonized and was thought to be much more at fault for the affair in the public eye than was Bill Clinton held accountable for that.
And you have a very powerful man, the President of the United States, having his way with an intern. You know, the power differential there, I don't think can be minimized. But let's look into what happened with this third woman's accusation, which are now in a court of law. Last week, a New York State judge, Jennifer Schechter, ruled that President Trump has to face a defamation suit filed by Summer Zervos. She appeared on The Apprentice. Zervos claims the president defamed her by calling her a liar after she accused him of sexual harassment. How significant is it, Lara, that the president may have to face this lawsuit in state court and perhaps even have to make a deposition?
Well, why it's important is because if you look back to the Paula Jones lawsuit, President Clinton was forced to be deposed in the Paula Jones lawsuit, but that was a federal court. This is, in fact, in the state courts, and why that is important is because it starts to set the precedent that a state court filing can, in fact, charge the president and move forward and force the president to testify in a civil claim. So we're sort of entering into a situation where some of the constitutional protections that have surrounded presidents and their executive privilege and their sort of ability to ward off claims while they were in office are now being eroded.
Well, Judge Schechter cited the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that allowed Paula Jones to bring a sexual harassment suit against Bill Clinton. And she said, quoting here, "No one is above the law. It is settled that the president of the United States has no immunity." Let's go to another phone call. Thomas in Milwaukee has been waiting patiently. Thomas, you're on the morning show with Lara Brown.
Hi, how are you? Hey, I turned on NPR this morning, and I was frankly just a little shocked at what I was hearing. It sounded like Rush Limbaugh from 80s conservative radio, moralizing, finger-waving, lack of character in the president, etc. I mean, you guys are really missing a lot of meta-narratives here. One, everybody sees what's happening. Nobody cares. Nobody is interested in this. They want jobs. They want people. They want Trump to do what he says he's going to do. That's why they voted for him. They're not worried about media narratives pulling these awful people out of the sewers to come smear him. Like, everybody sees what's happening. And I'm really surprised NPR is kind of falling for this sort of thing. And two, I don't think, you know, the character thing, somebody mentioned it earlier, like, Bill Clinton changed all of that. You know, the Democrats can't now get on their high horse and say character matters, consensual relationships between adults, you know, are morally questionable because it's infidelity. Like, it's just not going to wash, and I'm really kind of surprised at NPR.
Thomas, thanks so much. It's Wisconsin Public Radio that you're surprised at, not NPR. Lara Brown, you've got about 15 seconds here to respond to Thomas before we have to take a break.
Well, I just wanted to say that actually what is interesting is how both parties are swapping positions, and that so much of this, as a political scientist, is in fact watching the parties argue the opposite points. And this is not simply just that everybody knows what's going on. In fact, there are opinions changing, and it will likely impact the midterm elections.
We're talking about the allegations brought against the president and the possible impact on his administration with Lara Brown, an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. It is The Morning Show, and we will be back with more after this news. It's The Morning Show. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about allegations brought against the president by porn star Stormy Daniels, former Playmate Karen McDougal, and Apprentice contestant Summer Zervos, and the possible impact on his administration with Laura Brown, an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. We do have time for a few more phone calls this hour. What's your reaction to the alleged affairs? Do they matter? Do you think that President Donald Trump is getting a fair shake here? Do cases like these influence your support for the president? And is this what we should be focusing on? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laura Brown, there are many problems facing this country. We just had a march against gun violence that attracted millions of people. We have a summit scheduled with North Korea. We're trying to avoid a trade war with China. Do the president's alleged scandals even matter?
Well, they do matter in terms of how the people perceive the president. It is also the case that we are approaching a midterm election in November, and one of the sort of most toss-up constituencies are going to be those women who are college-educated who live in the suburbs. And those women are part of what essentially helped President Trump secure his victory in 2016. Their support for him has gone down since he has been in office, and it is also the case that in this situation, you see more of them disapproving of the president and believing, in fact, the women's allegations. So while people may prefer Americans to focus on more serious issues, this character and personality issue ends up becoming a shorthand for so many of the other things that are top of mind to voters, and especially to those key constituencies that will swing the outcome of the 2018 election.
Let's go back to the phones. Gary in Merrill, you are on the morning show with Laura Brown. Hello, Gary.
Yes, good morning. Wasn't it only about 5 weeks ago that we learned that there was a slush fund for our elected people in Washington paid for with taxpayer money to pay for any sexual indiscretions or pay for political favors under the table, crooked treachery stuff? And couldn't we possibly let this go? Two adults and the woman, her occupation is kind of questionable, whether she told the truth or not. Who cares? There's bigger issues for the country, and it is a hate campaign. I hate to say it, but it seems like the left is more interested in destroying our president than they are of what good he could do for the country. And I think he's a great president, and I look forward to voting for him in 2020.
Gary, thanks so much for the phone call. Laura Brown, your response.
Well, I mean, let me just say that it is the case that every caller who has called in has been a man, and it is also the case that when you look at sort of the polling, men are in fact more in favor of sort of this issue going away, the non-disclosures staying in place, and in fact they are disbelieving of the women. So I do think that some of the comments and the calls have been representative of that larger viewpoint among men. I think it's also the case that this isn't simply about the sexual relationships. It is about the payments that were made to these women, and it is about a question of an illegal in-kind contribution. It's a question as to whether or not this information may have also been known by others who are looking at President Trump. And in fact, this is where Robert Mueller's investigation of President Trump may include calling in Michael Cohen because of these types of payments. So I think it's important to realize that there is much more here going on than just an extramarital affair or two that happened over 10 years ago. We're talking about a monetary cover-up of these relationships and whether or not that placed the president in then essentially a questionable position with regard to either the Russians and to collusion and to whether or not the president and his emissaries engaged in illegal activities.
If this $130,000 payment by Michael Cohen was an illegal campaign contribution, would that give Robert Mueller some leverage over him if it gets to the point where Mueller wants him to turn and become a witness against President Trump?
Yes, it does. It allows, essentially, Mueller to call in Michael Cohen to talk about this payment, because there is a question about the president's finances and the Trump Organization's finances with regards to loans to Jared Kushner, his son-in-law's businesses, with regard to his overall campaign spending and how those funds were used and allocated.
Let's go to Steve in Oshkosh. Steve, you're on the morning show with Laura Brown.
Hi. To me, it seems that what the critical perspective that we're missing is the voice of Melania, her perspective on what Trump apparently did in these cases. And I think that, you know, if these cases are true, it shows Trump's cruel character. In one of the reports, they said Melania was not sleeping with Trump at the time. And so this strikes me as a way of hurting her.
Steve, thanks so much for the phone call. And Karen McDougal, Laura Brown, apologized to Melania in the interview that she did with Anderson Cooper.
She did. I mean, I think what we have is a situation here where Melania is not interested in coming out and publicly being in favor of her husband or defending him in this case. And again, I think this is a change from past sort of moments of scandal, whether we are talking about then First Lady Hillary Clinton defending her husband and or whether it was even something more recently, right, where we have seen other political wives essentially defending their husbands, as we saw Judge Roy Moore's wife defend her husband against those allegations last December. It is the case that, typically speaking, the woman comes out and the wife comes out and says, you know, my husband's still of good character and there were failings or problems in our marriage and please overlook this. And women end up becoming the validator for this type of behavior. And I think this is where there are some interesting differences in this case than in others.
Let's go to Lauren in Burlington. Lauren, you're on the morning show with Laura Brown.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that, first off, I'm a Trump supporter and I am female. Second, that I really feel that the ladies that are involved in the lawsuit with the president right now are taking advantage of the opportunity to gain money, you know, due to the fact that he is president and he doesn't really want this out. These alleged affairs happened way before he was president. Unfortunately, we have a culture where men in power, pretty much women are attracted to it. And I'm not saying all women, I'm saying some women. They are attracted to that power. And I do believe that, for sure, in Ms. Daniels' case, it was she traded her body for an opportunity to be on the television show. And I believe that was the case with another lady that was there as well. Stormy Daniels had a contract. She broke the contract. Where that ends up, I don't know. And personally, I think we've got bigger fish to fry. I think Europe for sure laughs at us.
All right. Lauren, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're down to our last minute here, and I do want to give Laura Brown a chance to respond. Thanks so much for calling us.
Certainly. I mean, your caller represents, you know, a viewpoint out there that it's important to realize that the president had these affairs some time ago. I think it is also not really the problem. The problem are the settlements, the payments, what it might mean for the Russia probe, and how there may be illegal campaign activities with
Russia. Lara Brown, are you still there?
I am.
Look at the president's problems keeping lawyers. He's lost a number of lawyers. Other lawyers aren't coming on board. Is this tied up in some way with these scandals? And what are the implications of all of that with the Mueller investigation going forward?
Well, I think what you have is a situation where the president is very much wanting to go speak with Mueller personally, as sort of what has been reported is that the attorneys who he has interviewed have basically told him that they do not want him to do that interview in person. They want to do those things in writing, and that part of what is causing the friction is sort of a difference in how the legal strategy should proceed. And the president has been very forthright about wanting to essentially go in there, solve it himself, and have this Russia investigation over. Most of his attorneys who have consulted him have felt that that was really not the best way to go. So
one final question. The president is having his cabinet members and staff sign non-disclosure agreements. Is that legal? Do these people work for the president, or do they work for the American people? You've only got a few seconds here.
Sure. Well, so every political appointee serves at the pleasure of the president, which means he has the ability to hire and fire. I do not know of past non-disclosure agreement requirements, but given the profit motive that does exist around campaign books, I would not be surprised if they were implemented.
Thank you very much, Lara. We could have gone on for another hour. Lara Brown is an associate professor and director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. The morning show was produced by Nyasia Ellison and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is the executive producer. Tomorrow at this time, more analysis and your views about the biggest news story of the day. I'm Glenn Mobergen for Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show on Wisconsin Public Radio.